In the name of Jesus. Amen. Who am I and what am I doing here? That's always a good question to ask ourselves, even when we're in church. And God answers that question for us. We begin the divine service in the same way every Saturday, every Sunday. We hear those words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God say, Amen. We say those words because we are baptized. It may have happened in this church or it may have happened in some other church, but with those words, you are marked as a Christian. There's no such thing as a Lutheran baptism or a Roman Catholic baptism or Methodist or Presbyterian. You're either baptized into Jesus Christ or you're not. The pastor, the priest, the minister spoke your name and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you are marked as a Christian. And in doing that, it creates the church. Where there are no baptisms, there are no Christians, and there is no church. Many Christians, not just Roman Catholics, will make the sign of the cross over themselves when they hear those words to remind themselves that they are baptized. Because when we come to this place, we call ourselves the children of God. Not because, oh, well, you know, I've behaved really well this past week, or I've tried really hard, or at least I'm in church. No, we call ourselves the children of God because we're baptized. Baptism is an actual event. It's something that happens to you. You cannot baptize yourself. It must be done to you. But it's not just an isolated ritual. It is the reality in which you are currently living and in which someday you will die. If you are blessed to have a Christian funeral in church and there is a casket, we will put this white cloth over the casket, and that white cloth is called a pall, P-A-L-L. If you've heard of the word or the phrase pallbearers, those used to be the men who would carry that cloth and put it on the casket. And it is a symbol, a reminder of baptism. That in baptism we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Now we still use that word pallbearers, even though they don't actually carry the pall, they carry the casket. We should call them casket carriers, but I don't think that's going to catch on anytime soon. We still call them pallbearers. But it is a reminder that we are baptized into Christ. I would encourage you to tell your family that you want that in your obituary, that you are baptized. Don't just have in your obituary what a great person you were. They know better than that. Don't just have all the hobbies that you liked or things you enjoyed. Have in there, baptized into Jesus. That's something that they can take comfort in. Because baptism is not, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it is a concrete, objective action that happened at a particular time in a particular place, and it depends on God. God is the one who works in baptism. Baptism is from the top down. God does His work on us. We don't see that. We see the water, we hear the word, but it is God who is doing the work in the action, making us His people. As we sang just a few minutes ago, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. Not I was, but I am. It's a current reality. Baptism puts us into Jesus, marks us as belonging to God, and that is all something that God does. God does it. People often think of religion as something they do. And that's the way the Apostle Paul thought before he became a Christian. He grew up in a very legalistic religion. All these rules, all these regulations, and he kept them. He was really, really good. Sometimes we think about people getting converted from being bad people. The Apostle Paul was actually converted from being a good person. God had to assure Paul that no, it is not your goodness, it is not your keeping the rules that's going to save you. It is the grace and mercy of God in Christ that saves you. Paul was reminded of that and had to be taught that as God delivered to him His word. So it's not 80% God, 20% us, or 90% God, 10% us. No, it's 100% God. God does it all from start to finish. Well, then, maybe we don't have to do anything. And that's what some people accuse the Apostle Paul of. If God does it all, if it's all by grace, then why don't we just sin some more? Actually, that sounds like win-win, doesn't it? The more I sin, the more God gets to forgive me and be gracious. So why not just sin more and more? Paul says, no, that's not what God's word teaches. That's not what Paul was teaching. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So if you think, well, I'm baptized, so I can do whatever I want all week long, and then I'll go to church on Saturday night or Sunday morning and get forgiveness. You're not a Christian. That's not what the Bible teaches. Paul does not teach that once you're baptized, you're done. He doesn't say, once you're saved, you're always saved. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus because of your baptism. Baptism becomes a resource to help us deal with the sin in our lives. It's very interesting that when we read God's word and we read how it talks about sin, it doesn't talk about things like addiction or chronic sin, things that you cannot escape from, even though, you know, those things do exist. But the Bible doesn't use that kind of language, and there's a good reason for that, because there's something even more powerful than sin, and that's Jesus. Death puts an end to our sin, and we have a God who raises the dead. And so when people have that identity, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm a drug addict, and they may struggle with those things. Those things are real, and we all have sins that we struggle with. But that is not your ultimate identity. Your ultimate identity is, I am baptized into Christ. I am a child of the living God. And so whatever sins I struggle with, that is not what defines me. What defines me is who God has made me to be, his child through water and the word. Until the day you die, you will struggle with sin. Even as a Christian, Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. He talks about the good I want to do, I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, I do. And he talks about that struggle. The Bible calls that sinful part we struggle with our old Adam, that sinfulness that is in us, and it's in us until the day we die. But also in us, because we are baptized, is a new man, Jesus Christ. That new man abides in us also. And so for the Christian, that struggle exists. It goes on inside of each one of us, and it will until the day you die. And some days, yeah, one side seems to win out more than another. But what has the last word? Or who has the last word? God does. And so we begin our day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, reminding ourselves that we're baptized. We end our day, no matter what we did that day or how it went, telling ourselves, I'm a child of God because I'm baptized. And next Sunday when we have church, we'll hear those words again. No matter how you behaved this coming week or what you did or what you didn't do, we will come to this place and we will say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because we are baptized children of God, because God makes it so. And that is something that you can carry with you all the days of your life, all the day until the day you die, and be assured of the promises given to you in Christ, because God makes it so. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise. Lord, assure me of your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.